Fighting does not make you a hero.
What if I promise to be careful? Just a shield, then.
Diana.
No sharp edges.
Be careful of mankind, Diana. They do not deserve you.
You've told me this story.
What is this place? Who are you people?
We are the bridge to a greater understanding.
Right.
What is your mission?
Well, here's the thing. You are in more danger than you think. The boys in the trenches called her Dr. Poison. Millions would die. The war would never end.
I'm going, Mother. If you choose to leave, you may never return. Who will I be if I stay?
We'll come. When you have to rise, you
have to rise. To the war.
Well, technically the war's that way, but we gotta go this way first.
How can a woman fight in this?
Ooh. Who is this young woman?
She's my,
Diana, Princess of Themis.
Prince, Diana Prince. If you believe that this war should stop, help me stop it right now.
What are you?
You will soon find out.
PG-13. Experience it in IMAX 3D June 2nd.
Great Hera! It's a new episode of the Film and Water Podcast. Proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rob Kelly. And boy, this is a big one. It's Wonder Woman, everybody. Finally, after 75 yes. years. Yes! Excel, one of my guests is bursting at the seams to talk about this movie. It's Chris and Cindy Franklin. Hello, guys. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. It's great to be back.
Hello.
All right. What we're going to do, as we typically do for new movies, like we did just last week for Train to Busan, we are going to do an initial part of the show, which is spoiler-free. So we'll have just general thoughts about the movie. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, and you should go see the movie, but if you haven't seen it yet, you can be safe to listen to this part. We won't spoil anything for you, and then we will have a very distinct spoiler section where if you have seen the movie, then we can get into all the nitty-gritty. But don't worry, first part of the show, and we'll have in the show notes, we'll have the indication of where the spoilers start. But let's get right to it. Guys, what did we think of Wonder Woman?
I'll be honest. Anybody, I had great trepidation facing anyone that wasn't Linda Carter. And especially after I found out that she was not going to be involved, because I had hoped that she would be Hippolyta or something like that. I was like, oh, no. And this is, you know, Gal Gadot is relatively unknown commodity. And I was like, oh, no. But I tell you, I really think, as Linda Carter is my Wonder Woman from my generation, I really think that Gal Gadot is going to be my daughter's. So to me, that encapsulates it. She is, you know, she got it.
Chris, what do you think?
Oh, sorry. I was just waiting.
I'm trying to be spoiler-free.
You're trying to be spoiler-free. Yeah, she's chomping at the bit here. I agree with what Cindy said. I don't want to be negative toward other movies. We've got our accords, and also because of recent personal events and some of the people's lives that I'm not gonna go there. But this is the type of DC movie I want to see. I was very happy when I walked out of the theater. I felt like that they did a good job of translating the story into the movies. It all felt very familiar. You know, it felt like, you know, it felt like you were getting the Wonder Woman story that, you know, like just like when you from a Superman adaptation, you expect certain things from Krypton and Smallville and things. I expected certain things in this Wonder Woman story. I got them, even if they changed the time period a bit. You know, they moved it back from the initial time period in the comics and the TV series. And I thought it was very well done, and Gal Gadot and Chris Pine were great in it. I thought it was just, I walked out of the theater with a really big smile on my face. I really enjoyed it.
Danny and I were bouncing.
Yeah.
Out of there.
Right. I was wondering, you guys brought the kids and what their reaction was to it.
Well, and I think Andrew was just kind of along for the ride because it's a DC movie, but he turned to me at one point in the theater and was like, said, "This is really good."
That's nice.
Yeah, so, you know, and he's 15-year-old, you know, teenage, you know.
Curmudgeon.
Yeah, he's in his disaffected youth phase, you know. So he just said, "Hey," in the background. He walked out of there thinking this was, you know, he really enjoyed it. And there were several times me and him were sitting next to each other, and he gave me that, "What?" look, you know, when something really cool happened. And, you know, he just you know. He was completely sold on it, and
Danny was sitting next to me. It was me, Danny, Andrew, and Chris. As far as the lineup of seats, Danny was sitting next to me, and there'd be parts when she would come on the screen, and she'd be like, you know, she'd be tapping my leg or tapping my arm and going, ah, you know. And I mean, I was like, I know.
One of the things that I noticed when the movie ended, I turned around and I saw like different groups of women had seen the movie together. Like there was, I saw like five or six women sitting right behind us, and they were all around the same age, and they bought blankets, and they were all sitting there. And it was like, it was really cute to see that it was like this big communal thing. And that's not something, you know, like that shouldn't be discounted. I mean, it's funny, Chris, you said the word familiar, and that was something that occurred to me, was that, you know, this is the first Wonder Woman movie ever. And yet, I mean, we did see her just last year in BVS, but that was very brief. But it was, as I was watching it, I was sort of struck by, and maybe it's because I've been living with Wonder Woman in one form or another since before I was born. You know what I mean? Like, I've always had Wonder Woman in my life, whether it's Super Friends, TV show, the toys. She's always been around. But it didn't feel weird that she was the star of a movie.
Right.
It just felt like, okay, this is a Wonder Woman movie. It wasn't like we're seeing Guardians of the Galaxy, where I was like, wow, I'm looking at, you know, Groot in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, Wonder Woman. I was so, maybe it's because I'm just so familiar with the story as you talk about, that all of it just felt so natural. So it like, I had to keep kind of reminding myself that this was the first Wonder Woman movie. This wasn't the ninth Wonder Woman movie. This wasn't, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, this is just Wonder Woman. I think of the three of us, I'm probably the most negative on the movie. I'm not negative on the movie, but I think I'm probably the least positive. My view of it is this is a good movie, but not a great movie. I think the opening stuff on Paradise Island is pretty weak. Then when Chris Pine shows up and the two of them get together, then she gets to go on the mission. To me, the movie completely comes alive. And all of that stuff I loved. And then the final third in the big kind of battle, that part I was disappointed in for reasons we can get into in the spoiler section. So to me, the movie kind of starts low, peaks, stays high for a while, and then kind of goes down again at the end. But it didn't matter. The part that I loved the most about this movie, and I wrote it on Facebook right after, and this is... I also mentioned this in my review for 13 Dimension. To me, the best part of Wonder Woman is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Is Gal Gadot. They absolutely found the right person to do it. And while I wouldn't quite put Gal Gadot in the realm of Chris Evans as Captain America or Christopher Reeve as Superman, which to me, as we've discussed on previous episodes, is like perfect casting, she's close.
Mm-hmm.
She is close. And when she is standing there... when they finally get to that scene where she straddles onto the No Man's Land battlefield in the costume, the moment we've been waiting for, she looks utterly comfortable standing there as Wonder Woman. And that is tough. Right. That is really tough to pull off without having just some sense of, like, I feel a little silly. Like, to me, like Ben Affleck in BVS, there's some part of him that just, I get this read of, like, he just feels silly standing yeah. there in this costume. She looks utterly at home. She, to me, she let me in as an audience member. I got into her. I got under her skin. I got in her mind of what it was like to be Wonder Woman. And so, to me, all of the negative parts of this movie can be corrected in the second movie. To me, they got the tough part right. The tough part is finding the right Wonder Woman.
Right.
That's
right.
The tough part. Right. Yeah. All the other stuff can be fixed. And so I was completely on board with her. And every time they would cut away from her to give other characters, I was like, get back to Wonder Woman. I want yeah. more Wonder Woman. Give me more Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. So that to me is the most important thing was getting Wonder Woman right. And to me, they did. And the odds of that to me seem astronomical, but they did it. They did it. They found her perfectly right. And, you know, like, in terms of the parts I didn't like as much, like, all the parts about Paradise Island, the opening scenes in Paradise Island, like, what were your view? I felt that stuff was kind of stiff. Like, just, like, I felt like the Amazons didn't talk like people. They kind of just said these sort of bromides. And I realized that we all heard that Patty Jenkins was sort of modeling this movie after Superman, the original Superman. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, all as Chris, you and I have already gone over, all that stuff on Krypton is meant to be very formal and stiff.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so I feel like they were replicating that on Paradise Island. But there was something about the way the rest of the Amazons just seemed kind of, I don't know, like hapless in some ways. And there's the whole point where, like, they get in, like, I'm not going to get into the spoilers, but the whole thing where, like, they have to deal with an invasion. And to me, I was like, that whole opening stuff didn't work for me. Did you guys not have that problem?
I honestly didn't have that problem. I kind of felt like, you know, they were that's kind of always been Wonder Woman's thing, that the Amazons are kind of stayed, you know, they're very, you know, she breaks free of that. She's kind of the free spirit that has to leave. And, you know, she's the one that's going to, you know, whether she wins the contest or, you know, she strikes out on her own or, you know, a little bit in between, you know, that's kind of their role is to be, you know, this very structured, you know, it's been this way for centuries type of culture. And, you know, she's the one, she's the one standing out from the crowd, you know? And so I think that was kind of intentional. I actually kind of thought, I just thought they pulled off the look of it really well.
I did too.
I thought it was really, you know, it looked like kind of what I always figured Themyscira or Paradise Island would look like, on screen. Yeah. And I thought, I thought it was cool that they showed them doing all the training. And so, I mean, you know, they were very cultured, and I thought it was neat that, you know, without getting into spoilers, that, you know, they talk about how educated they all are.
Yeah.
But yet they're warriors too, because that, you know, that's the whole movie.
When you deal with anybody that has lived for centuries and you're talking about a society that is based on Greco-Roman culture, it's going to be more formal. It's going to be more wide reaching because they wanted people that were in positions of power to be well-read, to be well-educated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, that especially is true of someone that is in royalty that you don't know at this point is, did Hippolyta plan on Diana taking over for her one day? So you've got the whole royalty element, to whereas a lot of people that are in royalty, and that's the part of the society that we saw, mm-hmm. that and the army, you know, you have her being in royalty where she is stayed and controlled and has to have a certain grace and structure versus in, you know, with the army and Antipy and everything else, how that those two parts of Diana are warring together.
Right. And I mean, let's face it, in the comics, you know, Wonder Woman's kind of a walking paradox anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a walking contradiction. She preaches peace, but, you know, in modern times, she's always got a sword and a shield in her hand, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, I thought the movie actually did a pretty good job of balancing that. And we kind of see that on Paradise Island. You know, they kind of just address it head on that they're kind of a, you know, they're ready for battle, but they're a peaceful, you know, community and everything. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of thought, you know, and I know that was just kind of a setup and a means to an end. And it kind of actually surprised me that we didn't stay on Paradise Island longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we this movie rolls along at a pretty good clip. I think I saw somebody say that it got a little slow in parts, I'm like, what movie were you watching? You know, it's like, it rolled along, mm-hmm. you know, pretty well. I mean, any kind of slow parts were just exposition to move on to the next
right.
action beat. I mean, because you know,
to me, the Amazons are warrior scholars.
Yeah.
That, you know, that is the whole point. They study everything.
Yeah. I thought that part was, and I did kind of feel like, you know, like it was the Krypton scene, right. basically. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I did like little Wonder Woman. I like that actress that they found, where she's like just a little ass kicking little kid that she's up on the hill doing the, you know, and they look at her and she's like, oh no, that was really cool. And man, that bedchamber, woo, I would love to sleep in that thing. That looks like the most restful sleep in the world. That is amazing. The art direction in this movie is pretty spectacular.
Yes, it is. In terms
of the set. And you're right. I mean, Paradise Island does look like the greatest sandals resort that anybody's never going to get a chance to go to. I mean, it's just these waterfalls, and you probably can ride on kangaroos and stuff, and it's everybody's, you know, the weather's always like, you know, 79 and sunny. It's just perfect. It's just great. Yeah.
We didn't see the giant kangas. That's too bad.
We didn't get the healing purple ray or whatever. But
no Paula Von Gunther.
Yeah, Paula Von Gunther. but I mean, I except once Gal Gadot comes into it and she gets her scenes with Chris Pine. By the way, I was a little pleasantly surprised that we got as much of Chris Pine flesh as we got in this movie. I'm sure every woman in the movie in the theater was perfectly happy with that. But Cindy,
well,
I made the comment that I didn't think it was very fair that we didn't get the equal amount of Gal Gadot. Ow. You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Now, but one of the things that I liked about this movie a lot, and this is something that you can only handle when you do casting, is I thought Gal Gadot and Chris Pine had great chemistry. Like they had a really nice rhythm. And we've all seen movies where the main romantic leads don't have chemistry, and you can't quite put your finger on it what the problem is, but you're just like, something ain't right. But when you see two actors fit together, they do. And that whole sequence where they get on the boat to go on to the man's world, I loved how much Patty Jenkins let that scene play out, where they have the whole discussion about where he's going to sleep, are they going to lay next to each other. Like, that's almost like a romantic comedy beat where for an action movie, they really let that scene breathe. And I was genuinely laughing during that whole sequence.
Yeah, I mean, there are several scenes between them in this movie that got a chuckle out of the whole audience.
Well, you know, what about, you know, he's above average.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. I mean, and I thought this movie, you know, as a parent, there were several things in this movie that it skirted the edge of, you know, getting you that into that uncomfortable wiggle zone. I mean, I know this is a PG-13 movie, so they really didn't even have to worry about that with the rating. They could just went for it, you know. But they did a nice job of kind of skirting around those things. I mean, you're almost into the realm of Lois and Superman's interview on her, you know, terrace apartment with, put it delicately, do you eat, you know, things like that.
Right,
you know, I mean,
right.
You're, you know. And there was a lot of that Superman the movie vibe between them, and they definitely had great chemistry. And I thought Chris Pine was, you know, the way that Steve Trevor was, he wasn't, you know, he was kind of in over his head with this thing, but you know, he played it as he's been in weird situations before, and he rolled with it. And I mean, he was a little flustered here and there, but he quickly got his feet underneath him with each thing.
He's
that
like,
came
okay,
at him.
I got to do this.
Yeah, this is where I'm at. This is actually happening. you know, all this, what, I don't know how much I buy into it, but obviously something's going on here. And, you know, and I thought that was a great way to go with the character. And like I've said a million times, anybody that can convince me that somebody else can play Captain Kirk, he's pretty good. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm a Chris Pine fan anyway, so I was glad to see him in this, and him and Gadot were great in it together. Yeah, definitely.
What did you think about the fact that, like, when we meet the whole other, like, they collect the whole team, like, it's basically like an Ocean's 11 thing? Like, I kind of wished, I liked all those characters, but I wanted more Wonder Woman. Did that frustrate you as someone who's been waiting for so long to see a Wonder Woman movie? Like, the fact that she has to kind of share the action a little bit with these other people? Or was that?
I don't know. It was one of those cases I honestly felt it was just like you could have taken the scene from Captain America when he is gathering the commandos and plopped it right there, and it was basically the same scene, yeah, beat for beat.
There were some similarities.
I mean, I can't help it. That's what I got. That part, I was just kind of like, okay, whatever. Let's get going.
It's the Howling Command. They could have even called them Easy Company or something.
I mean, they could have. I mean, to me, it was like, you know, you got the guy that has to deal with racial prejudice, and he's wonderfully educated, blah, blah, blah. And then you got the Indian guy, you know, and then you got the guy that's supposed to be good but really isn't because he's tortured by his own demons, blah, blah, you know. Okay, whatever.
I mean, I like the characters okay, but I did feel that was maybe a concession to the action movie crowd a little bit. You know, that was like, okay, you know, and even, but honestly, it's kind of odd because they didn't promote these characters at all. I mean, other than you saw the picture of them in BVS.
Right.
You know, you didn't even know these guys didn't even have to show up in the movie. They could have just been in the village when they took this picture or wherever they took the photo. But I did, there's a part of me that, you know, they just call the Native American guy Chief. So in my mind, that's Apache Chief. There you go. There's your super.
There you go.
If they'd said a neck chalk at some point, I'd been all giddy and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
I wish, like I said, it was a little bit like Wonder Woman and the Outsiders for a little, and I was just like, okay, I don't need all these other people. I like Wonder Woman. I mean, again, when we finally get to the scene where she gets to cut loose, I could have watched that all day of just her picking up tanks and picking up cars and throwing things and smashing through all that. Like, you know, and I think Patty Jenkins handles action scenes really well. Unlike, I found the action scenes in even Chris Nolan's movies, Batman movies, which I really like, I find them nearly incomprehensible because they're just close ups and they're just, and you know, you just have to kind of wait until, you know, the scene does a master shot and you can see who's on the ground and who isn't to know who.
Right.
And they're so dark and, you know, this, you can actually see what's going on.
Right.
You're
like, okay, here's Wonder Woman. She's going to knock this guy over. She's going to get this guy. What did you all think of the use of the accoutrement, like the lasso? And the lasso, first of all, the visual effect of the lasso was great. I love how it pops that bright yellow. But what did you think of how it was used?
Well, I you know, with the lasso, I kind of want to hold that for the spoiler territory part of what I'm saying. But I overall, I think, you know, I thought it looked fantastic. Like you said, the visual effect of it and the way she used it. She used it in some pretty interesting ways, too. And it was used in the traditional sense.
Right.
And also in kind of like an Indiana Jones whip, you know,
Well, and which is why I owe Ryan Daly an apology.
Well, why is that?
In an earlier podcast we were talking about, you know, and he's like, oh, well, I think it's great that they're using the lasso as a weapon, blah, da, 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 da. And I'm like, oh, no. I apologize, Ryan.
Oh, there you go.
Hurt. That hurt out there.
I thought the bracelets, I mean, they did some great stuff with the, you know, we all saw the scene in the trailer where the Superman, the movie type scene where they're in the alleyway and Diana deflects the bullet from Steve. And you know, he's getting in front of her and then she pulls her arm up and that was a great sequence. And every time she used the bracelets, it was really
and
super well done.
And then the spoiler part about the bracelets, I want to.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's get to that. Overall, we were all very positive about the movie. Are you guys planning on seeing it again? I mean, would you want to see it again?
Hell yeah. Okay.
Me too.
Okay. Yeah,
come or not.
We walked out and she said, when's it playing next?
That's it was like
11 o'clock at night and she was wanting to go see it again.
I always feel like that's ultimately the test of how much I liked a movie is when I walk out of it, would I want to see it again? And that's, it's really A or B, you know, and sometimes if the answer is a no, it's because the movie was really good, but it just like, okay, I've had that experience and now I'm over with. But for the most part, really good movies make me want to watch it over again. And I do want to see Wonder Woman again. I absolutely do. So obviously we all really liked it. Cindy, you and Chris, you guys really liked it. And I'm so happy that it's already a big success. Like it's interesting that, you know, initially there was all those rumblings about, you know, oh, they don't seem to be marketing this movie. Are they have a problem with it? And the expectations were kind of low. And then people started seeing it, critics, and the word got revised upward. Because now all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, this is going to be a big hit. So it's already, from what we're hearing, going to be a really big success. I'm dying to find out on Monday what the box office return is.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Because as we all know, you know, and I've said this on previous episodes. I said this on just Treasury Cast, which was on a couple of days ago. Like, I have never been rooting for a movie to be a bigger success than this movie, even more than The Force Awakens, because I knew that even if The Force Awakens sucked, they were going to keep making Star Wars movies. It didn't matter right. What the reaction. But Wonder Woman, this movie has to be a hit, or they'll never make another Wonder Woman movie or another yes. superhero other than Captain Marvel, which is already in production. This movie is going to be the one that every bean counter in Hollywood looks at as to whether to greenlight another female-led superhero movie. So to me, I'm like, I want this movie to be a massive success. So
knock it out of the park.
Knock it out of the park. And if it's a great movie on top of it, that's even better. But almost more than that, I want it to be financially successful, and it seems like it's going to be. So
right.
We're all very positive about this movie. So we're going to stop here, and then we are going to run a little bit of music so you can process these.
Kind of do the.
I think that's what I'm going to do, or something like that. So we're going to play some music here, and on the other side, we are going to do Wonder Woman spoilers. So either bail out of the show now and go see Wonder Woman, or stay tuned and we'll be right back. All right, and we're back. And now it's time for Wonder Woman spoilers. Okay, everybody. So what do we want to spoil? What do we want to... my first issue with the movie... And this is probably a nitpicky thing, but this is where we are, is the fact that so many of the Amazons get taken out by those Germans when they arrive on Paradise Island. Like, to me, it made the Amazons look kind of dumb that they are so poorly defending their island. Like, these guys were not an attack force. They were just a bunch of Huns in rowboats looking to get Steve Trevor, and, like... They spent so much time, like, posing and doing, like, loop-de-loops and flips. And then I'm like, stop posing and just mow these guys down. Like, that part kind of bothered me a little. Like, it made the Amazons, to me, not look like the greatest warriors in the world.
However, what you're talking about is the whole thing is when the Native Americans came up against U.S. forces. And you're talking about great warriors that have been honed to be a warrior since they were boys coming up against guns. And there is that's where that correlation
is. That's the way I took it too.
All right.
Yeah. I took it as, you know, unlike the comic book Amazons who can look, you know, into man's world through the magic sphere or whatever it is. they're totally cut off.
Yes.
And so they had no idea that they had these weapons like they mm-hmm. did. And, you know, and I mean, I don't know when the last time somebody pierced the barrier had been. And honestly, my whole thing was when Diana, you know, Diana does the thing with her bracelets
uh-huh.
that knocks Antipy, we keep wanting to say Antiope, Antipy, over, then that signaled Ares. That set all the things in motion. That's why Steve's plane immediately penetrated the barrier almost
right.
exactly afterwards.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because they kept talking about how they were basically trying to hide her,
yes.
you know, and not let her powers out.
Yes, and that was, you know, her godhood being awakened sent the signal, okay,
and then
game on.
And then and that's how the Germans were able to come through the barrier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got.
Mm-hmm.
I could be completely wrong, but that's the way
I didn't get any of that. That works for me.
Okay.
I didn't even think about that at all, because that was another thing that bothered me, was I was like, wait a minute, this all happens in one day? Like, you know, Diana discovers the bracelets and they do this amazing thing and she wanders over to the cliff and then there's Steve Trevor and then the Germans and then she's going to leave. I was like, why is this all so fast? But that makes a lot of sense. I didn't think about any of that, but that's a perfectly workable explanation. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't come out and say it, but I mean, just other things they say about how, you know, when they, you know, basically, of course, I kind of got from, you know, I was glad that we heard the whole, you know, she's made from clay, given life. But I kind of felt like it was coming that she was
something
else. Zeus's kid. You know, I felt like they're going to go there because, you know, I just felt like that. You know?
Well, you need to tell her the truth. You need to.
There's something. There's more than I knew she was going to be the god killer. Mm-hmm. But I also thought she'd end up being like Zeus's actual daughter.
Right. Because why else would there be a costume there?
Right.
In the god killer. Citadel.
Right.
Rather.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, going back to Rob's point, I really think, you know, the next time if the Amazons are confronted again by a modern warfare, they're going to kick their rear ends.
Right.
Because, you know, now they know what to expect. But you're coming up, okay, here's the first time that they've ever seen a gun. They still, you know, they still won, but they did lose some forces in that initial, oh my gosh, this is guns.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. I didn't really consider any of that, so that makes a lot. All right. I'm down with that.
We get the no prize.
That's a good. Yeah, I like it. It works out. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe that's what they intended. So now, Cindy, you mentioned Ryan Daly earlier. Now, one of Ryan's big complaints about this movie before he saw it was the idea that they weren't going to do the competition, that it's that Wonder Woman basically steals everything and takes off, and that for him was like a deal breaker. Now, he eventually went and saw the movie, so obviously it was an un-deal breaker. But what did you guys think about that they didn't do that part of the origin? That's the major change to the origin, that they don't do the competition.
Here's the thing about it. In this movie, Hippolyta knows that that's where Diana has to go. She's trying to protect her, which is with the contest too. But while she lets Diana go, not necessarily with her blessing, but with her understanding. Unlike with the contest, Diana gets it through subterfuge. And I've always had a problem with that.
Mm.
And I mean, yes, she stole it, but Hippolyta knew she was going to do it.
Yeah,
knew that she was trying
to
protect
her on the shore.
So to me, while the contest is okay, you know, because that does show that she is the best of the best, I also get this version too.
Right. I mean, it's kind of when they went in this direction that she was predestined to be the one to fight Ares, they kind of had to throw the contest out because nobody else would succeed, you know.
Right.
So I do kind of miss it in a way, but at the same time there's so much else there of Paradise Island that I wasn't like, well, where's the contest? It just didn't, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, they did a pretty good job of it on the TV show. And, you know, you know, of course, they'd have to do something more than her putting a domino mask on and a wig or something, you know.
Right.
Always hide your identity completely. I walk around frequently with a domino mask on and no one knows who I am. It works great.
So does Chris, but we can't talk about that on the show.
Cindy.
Not safe for work, everybody. All right, fair enough, all that. So, yeah, I mean, all the stuff, again, with the two of them, I think Gadot and Pine are great together. I love the way that Chris Pine is able to, in this movie, sort of downshift his man of action persona into a lower gear to be the side guy. Not every actor would probably have the ego to be able to do that. I think some male actors probably wouldn't be able to do that. They'd be like, no, I got to be 50-50 here. But no, Steve Trevor is definitely the co-star of this movie, but he's the co-star. He is not the star. And I like that he is able to, because, I mean, of course, you know, we all know him as Captain Kirk, which is like the ultimate man's man hero guy of movies. But he's able to convey a sensitivity, a softness, a willing to listen. I mean, there's points where he is overriding what Diana is saying because she doesn't, you know, he's like, we got to go this way, but the war's that way. No, but we got to go this way. But he's able to listen at moments, you know. Of course, when he finally sees, when she strips off the robe and she strides into the battlefield and he has that realization of like, oh, Lord, she's much more of an ass kicker than I ever could have imagined because look what she could do. And I mean, that whole sequence of her on the battlefield, I could have watched a whole movie of that, of her just ripping into those guys and picking giant cars up and throwing them around. I'm like, that's what I want to see, you know?
Well, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, and the part that gets me about that battle scene, when she comes out of the trenches and she's going for it, and she does that, and then Steve is like, okay, she's doing it. We're going to follow her.
Yeah.
That faith in her that she's like, She can handle it. I trust her.
Right. And, you know, there's one thing about, and I should have mentioned this in the non-spoiler part, but I'll go ahead and say it here. I love the fact that we get to see Wonder Woman inspire people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People follow her. When she takes that sniper out and she's standing on top of what's left of that church tower after mm-hmm. she plows through it,
yeah.
which is awesome. Everybody's cheering for her, and she smiles. Good Lord, give Henry Cavill that moment. Let him be. Let the man be Superman like right. that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all I'm going to say about it. But they can do it, and it's great. And that's what,
yeah.
I mean, that's the hero. They're supposed to inspire people.
Right.
And that's what she does. And you know, you're talking about Chris Pine. I was going to mention the magic lasso. I loved how
they used the lasso.
And they said lasso.
They
oh, my
said
God.
Lasso in the movie. We now know officially that you and I say it wrong.
Yeah, we were talking about on the Power Records.
Oh,
they kept saying lasso.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, what the crap's up with this lasso on the Power X episode? And then they say lasso in the movie. So, but you know, when they put it on Steve on Paradise Island, on Themyscira,
uh-huh.
and, you know, I love how it, you know, he's trying to resist it, and he's really doing a pretty good job, but mm-hmm. it burns. I thought
yeah.
that was a neat
and he
little,
said it's getting hotter.
It's getting
and I think
hotter.
The more he
that
resists,
nice
the hotter
touch.
It got.
I thought that was a
yeah.
touch.
And, you know. You got to think he's a spy, so he's been trained to resist.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Yeah, and I love the moment where he grabbed her lasso and he said, I'm not lying, you know.
Yeah.
Later, you know, I thought that was a neat little bit. It was a nice callback. I really...
Well, and what I thought was a nice callback is when they're in the village right before she takes out the tower and he sees that big thing, that big piece of metal,
mm-hmm.
and he's like... Okay, guys, I need you. You know, let's work together, and we're going to lift this up. And he's like, Diana, S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, he remembered
the
that battle.
The play from Paradise Island, yeah. Yeah, that was nice. There's a lot of nice continuity bits from the movie through, you know, that threaded through this. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Chris, one thing I think you noticed, you caught attention to this a little while ago when it came out, but the actor that plays Samir, and this is a little tiny nitpick, so this is not a big deal, but the actor that plays Samir, Saeed Togmaui, I believe is how you pronounce his name, sorry if I'm saying it wrong, he tweeted out something a couple of weeks ago that was a hint that was suggesting that he was playing a Blackhawk, that he was playing Andre from the Blackhawks, because he like literally tweeted like the Who's Who page or something. And I got mm-hmm. so excited. I was like, there's going to be a Blackhawk in this movie. But he's clearly not playing a Blackhawk or playing
yeah.
– he's not playing Andre. So that was weird to me. And I'm like – and now it doesn't mean that he can't be a Blackhawk because maybe they can do a Blackhawk movie where he's just one of the Blackhawks. But I thought it was weird that he tweeted out a Who's Who page referencing a character that he's clearly not playing. Like I kept waiting. I'm like, are they going to reveal that his real name is something else? Did you notice that when you were watching the movie?
Well, I saw on IMDb they said something about that his character was a character in the Blackhawks, in the Blackhawks series. But I don't know if that's just based on, you know, what you were talking about, that people took that for granted, or, you know, or they're going to at some point they're going to work him into, you know, a Blackhawk appearance in some movie or something. I was wondering the same thing too. I saw that this morning on IMDb. It's like one of the did you know things. And you know, sometimes that stuff is anybody can fill that stuff in. So you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But it says something about he, you know, it was a character from Blackhawk. Now, I don't know Blackhawk as well as you do, Rob. So I don't know if he's a, you know, a side character in one Blackhawk story.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this. With this
he's not one of the Blackhawks,
no,
obviously. Unless
no. I mean, they could change it, obviously, if they wanted to. They could just completely come up with their own version. I mean, look, I love the Blackhawks. I've always been so, and this would be a perfect way to pivot off of, you know, to take a character from Wonder Woman, just move him up a couple of years into World War II and make a Blackhawks movie. Hey, Warner Brothers, if you're listening, if you want to do a Blackhawks movie, I am there. You got my ticket sold. So it's totally fine with me. And I liked all the other characters. I liked them all. I wish that Wonder Woman had just maybe been given a little more to do. I liked seeing her more kick ass. But you know what? We talk about the comparisons of this movie and Superman. You know, the first Superman movie is mostly set up. And, mm-hmm. you know, you don't really get to see Superman do a ton of Superman-y stuff.
Yeah, I mean, don't get to cut loose.
Yeah, it's and then you get the Superman 2, and then you're like, all right, now he's flipping people into Coke signs, and he's picking up buses. So that's what I'm hoping for, is like, okay, Wonder Woman, and, you know, when you do Wonder Woman 2, we get to really see her cut loose. And, you know, like, what did you guys think about the fact that we lose Steve Trevor in this movie? That Steve Trevor dies in a very Steve Rogers-y way.
Yeah, yeah, that was another element. It's like, okay, he's going up with the plane instead of down, but you know,
yeah.
I mean, that there was a bit of that. I kind of wondered going in. It's like, you know, they don't have to let Steve live in this because you know this is so far back. In the past, and I mean, we're even skirting that with World War II now that it's, you know, I mean, obviously we lost Peggy Carter in the Captain America movies now due to old age, so. You know, Steve, obviously, you know, he'd have to be like 135 years old if he was still alive. So, I mean, it did kind of surprise me that they did that. Of course, they can always pull the Lyle Wagner route and have Chris Pine show up as a descendant.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. His great-great-grandson now, you know. But yeah, I mean, it was I thought it was well acted by Pine. I mean, you know, he had the gun in hand and he was basically like hyperventilating while he was.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I'm doing this. Oh my gosh, I'm really doing
this.
I have to do this.
Yeah, and he closed his eyes and he kind of smiled. And I thought the trick with, for a brief second, I thought there was something wrong with the audio quality in the movie when he was talking to Diana after that big explosion before he ran.
She couldn't hear anything,
She couldn't hear him. And I'm like, okay, no, this is part of it, and it's going to come back later. And it did, of course.
Yeah.
But I thought that was, you know, a nice bit there, you know, that he got to, you know, after she, you know, after he's dead.
Well, like you said, I'm going to save today. I can save today, but you've got to save the world.
Right, yeah. I thought that was nice. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, they gave him a very, very, very heroic death, obviously.
Send-off.
If they did do the, you know, Steve Trevor the fourth, you know, or whatever, shows up later on to romance Wonder Woman in the modern day, I think that would be really creepy, considering they were pretty explicit that Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman spend the night together in this movie. And, like, I know I can appreciate that this movie is aimed at families, and so you don't want to go too far. And, like, I think about, like, when you guys talked about that dick joke in the Lego Batman movie. But, like, after they spend the night together, where they clearly spend the night together, I was kind of hoping for, like, just a one brief moment of, like, the next morning of Chris Pine, of Steve Trevor just walking, like, with a limp or something, just looking like...
Damn, it was worth it.
I'm a little sore, but all right. But I know you don't want to do that. So one of the things we haven't really mentioned at all so far are the villains in this movie. I think mostly because I was kind of really meh on David Thewlis as Sir Patrick / Ares. I really liked Elena Anya as Dr. Maru, they call her here, but she's Dr. Poison. I loved her look. I thought that mask looked terrific. I kind of wish she had got, I wish she had more to do. What did you guys think?
I wanted to know how she got scarred. I mean, you figure that it was obviously her, you know, experimenting around with stuff, but I wonder if there was a little bit more backstory to it, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, she looked dead on. Other than having a domino mask, she had goggles on her head. She looked like the comic book Dr. Poison. I mean, she even had the green, you know, smock and the reddish rubber gloves. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was like a pretty straight translation, other than she had the, you know, the scarred face with the porcelain, you know, partial mask, like the Phantom of the Opera type thing going on. I liked her, Ludendorff.
She just wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Ludendorff, you know, Danny Houston, I always get him and Ray Weiss. They look too much alike. I always get those two guys confused. I thought for a minute, oh, Ray Weiss is in this movie. It's like, no, it's not.
They do look very similar. Same head shape, too, basically.
Yeah, basically. But, of course, Danny Houston was in X-Men Origins Wolverine. We won't hold that against him. he was actually good in that, despite the rest of the movie not being very good. I thought it was kind of the bit with him getting like super strength and stuff was kind of weird, but
I think that was just kind of a red herring.
That was the red herring bit for Ares, you know, so you wouldn't, because everybody kind of figured he was going to end up being Ares, you know, and then you got the surprise, you know, twist ending, which Andrew called, you know, halfway through. You say that guy's either going to be Zeus or Ares. Yeah, it's like, yeah, probably right.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those cases when he brought him the money, I was like, oh, why is he doing this? But then when Etta Candy's on the phone and saying, okay, this is the town, oh, I see the village, blah, 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 and he comes and takes the phone, I'm like, oh, he's the bad guy. Dang it, Lupin, why?
Yeah, see, he's a Harry Potter guy, so Cindy knows him from Harry Potter films. Yeah.
Well, and you have to think, I mean, if you're talking about somebody, and this is just me going into my fandom, but Lupin in the series, he was a pacifist because he changed into a werewolf. And you have this guy that did not want any conflict, did not want anybody to get hurt, and then he's the god of war.
Right.
And yeah. I'm just like, oh.
So they played against his type. Right.
I know. But
that's
kind of
neat,
you know,
though, if you know, because I haven't watched all the Harry Potter movies, but if you know the character from that, that's even a better red herring yeah. if they're playing against his type, you know. You know, I thought as far as the one thing that was, you know, all these movies, the big boss battle, it's usually not as satisfying as it builds up. There aren't a whole lot of these where it's like, you know, it's visually interesting. It, you know, it's kind of you're along for the ride. This is how the ride ends. It might have dragged out a little too long, honestly. I mean, that's the one criticism I would say of the pacing. And I mean, I know that was to show just how powerful he was, and he was just knocking her around, and, you know, then she had to watch Steve die and everything. But, and then, of course, you know, we do get the blue death beam.
Big blue beam.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a special effects house that sold Warner Brothers on, like, a package. Like, you get 5 blue beams for the price of 4. And so Warner Brothers is like, all right, we'll just put them in every movie. Can we put a blue beam in Murder on the Orient Express? Is there room for a big blue beam? Because we got an extra one. Like, yeah.
Kenneth Branagh shoots a blue beam from his mustache.
My name is Hercule Poirot.
Oh, that mustache, dude. Oh, that mustache.
There you go, Chris. Get to work on that.
Yeah,
you mentioned the ending, and there's other little bits that I want to get to before we get to the ending, but now that we're talking about it, it's something that this is my big issue with this movie, the biggest issue I have, is, okay, and I'm going to try and tread lightly here for obvious reasons. I have not been happy with the previous DC movies, as anybody listens to the show and the network already knows. I feel like DC, before Wonder Woman, was 0 for 3, and I couldn't tell, especially Man of Steel and BVS, and I couldn't tell whether the reason I don't like these movies is because of Zack Snyder or it's because of Warner Brothers. I didn't know. And I was really looking forward to Wonder Woman because I was like, okay, this will be a direct, this will be a movie in this sequence that Zack Snyder's not involved in. So if this movie sucks, then I'll know it's not Zack Snyder, it's Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers just cannot make a good movie anymore with these characters. Like, their corporate structure is causing this to go wrong. Conversely, I was like, well, if Wonder Woman's a great movie, then I'll know it is Zack Snyder, because the movie's great when Zack Snyder's not involved. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching this movie, and when we get to the final sequence where she and Ares are beating the crap out of each other, I really got crestfallen because I thought, as I mentioned, Gal Gadot is so great in this movie. She's so warm. She so invites you in that I was sad that she just gets turned into a CG marionette at the end of the movie, where all of her humanity kind of gets stripped away because she's been converted into this CG creature that's getting smashed up against Ares. And I was like, oh, man, why did they force this movie that was different into this mold, this template that they've got. Mm. And then I saw the credits, and I see this movie has a story credit by Zack Snyder. and I went, oh, there it is. And again, I know, you know, what the news about Zack Snyder, he's dealing with this tragedy, and you know, all good thoughts for him and his family and everything else. But I can't help it and feel like, I just feel like Zack Snyder is the wrong creative person for these characters.
For to steer this universe.
Yeah, he is just the wrong guy. They picked the wrong guy, and he is so determined to jam these characters into these big CG spectacles at the end. And literally, like you said, Chris, when the big blue beam comes out, I'm like, oh, come on! With the big blue beams! You know, and so now I'm like, I guess I have to wait another year and a half for Aquaman to get a DC movie that Zack Snyder does not have his fingerprints on.
Yes, his little sticky paws.
Yeah, and I was really hoping that would be Wonder Woman, but now I know it's not Wonder Woman because he's involved in it. So it's like the stuff that I didn't like, again, to me, the Paradise Island stuff to me is not great, but it's not terrible. But to me, this whole ending sequence really, I sort of tuned out because I was like, it's just CGI people smashing into one another. And it's funny, you mentioned the Harry Potter movies. Uh-huh. That, like, my thing with magic characters, it's very tough to have drama because everything's magic. And you're like, well, how do I know somebody's more powerful than somebody else? Because they just sort of, like, gesticulated more fervently with their magic wand. And I'm like, okay, he's Ares. He's the god of war. Why is he punching people? Like, why would a punch do anything to Ares, the god of war? He's a magical creature. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff didn't make any sense to me. And so that was the part where I just kind of sunk my head a little, like, oh, man, they're so desperate to put this round peg into the square hole. And that was my big issue with this movie. But again, luckily, it ends. And the whole stuff was with Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman is so great that it carries over. But that was my real issue, was just they're so determined to jam these into this format. And that's the part I just kind of was like, on. But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do feel like, and I will say, I don't think it's even, I think all the big, a lot of the big action movies anymore, they've just, you know, it's the video game mentality.
Yeah.
They've got to have the boss fight at the end. I mean, you know, it's got to be a CGI spectacle. I know Wonder Woman, she uses her love for Steve so she doesn't punish Dr. Poison. You know, that was basically, you know, that she right. used love as a weapon to destroy him. But she was still using, like, energy to destroy, you know. So, I mean, they made, like, lip service to the fact that she's using love to defeat him. But at the same time, you know, I don't know, maybe if they had the soldiers actually fighting and then she was able to get him to stop and that, you know, took his power away enough for her to knock him back through some portal into, you know, Hades or wherever he's at. You know, maybe that would have worked better for the message and been more true to the rest of the movie, you know.
Yeah.
Because you do see that when the soldiers get up. I mean, you know, the Wonder Woman's outsiders, as you call them, you know, they're actually like, you know, the chief hugs one of the young German soldiers. Yeah. You know, we're alive, you know, basically like we lived through this. We're not dead, you know. I mean, that was they were all so happy to be alive. So, I mean, that was nice. I mean, it was a little head scratch in there for a minute. I'm like, oh, okay, now I get it. But yeah.
But there is right there when you said that German soldier, you know, they hugged each other, blah, blah, blah. That's the one quibble I have with the whole movie.
Really?
Is the fact that Diana keeps saying it's Ares' fault that these men are acting like they're acting.
Yeah.
But she shows no hesitation at all into killing hundreds of them. You know?
I mean,
you understand the two things, like you said, right. It's that constant dichotomy that you've got going on.
Right, yeah. She's hacking. I mean, it's not gratuitous, but she's hacking through people left and right with her sword and throwing them into, you know, picking up tanks and throwing people.
But then she keeps saying it's Ares' fault. It's Ares' fault. Well, if it's somebody else, you know, why somebody?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think we're just nowadays. I mean, it's another one of those things. It's why, you know, Batman's just running over people with the Batmobile and stuff. I mean, it's just this. It's unfortunate. I hate it, but it's, you know, it's where the action movie hero and the superhero. You know, the superheroes were put into an action movie template. It's part of the big boss battle in a lot of ways.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's like the superhero from the comics has to be put in the same template that you put a Jason Bourne or a James Bond or even a Rambo in or something. Mm. And so they're expected to do, you know.
Oh, I know, but that was the quibble I had.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. It's like, well, yeah, she's killing people. Yeah, it's like, but you know, I mean, the Amazons, they were killing people when they were invading too, so.
I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and that is why I wish they had maybe found a little more room for Dr. Poison to be the main villain, because I think it would have been interesting to have a big action movie end with two women fighting as opposed to, getting in more kind of a male territory where she just got to punch her way out of it. I would have been interesting to see. And you know what? Like, we finally get to see what Dr. Poison looks like without the mask. I wish we hadn't seen that. I would have liked it if Wonder Woman could have seen what Dr. Poison looked like without her mask, but we don't see it because it's way more for our imagination. And I think it would have been interesting if other people could have seen Dr. Poison without her mask, and they're all like, but Wonder Woman has sympathy. Like, Wonder Woman doesn't have that reaction. Wonder Woman has you know, empathy for this poor woman who's been scarred. And there is one great little moment. I want to make sure we got this. I don't want to forget it. Because it was a fun little moment between the villains where after Dr. Poison and Ludendorff poison the room full of the high command, and they shut the door, and she says, why did you throw that gas mask? It doesn't work. And he's like, I know, I just want to watch them struggle. And they're like, ha ha! Like, it was like a Batman TV series villain laugh. Like, you can picture Cesar Romero's the Joker. I love that little, like, they just taking delight in their evilness. I love that. I wish there had been more little bits of humor like that. I thought that was great.
Well, this movie did, I mean, it definitely had more of a unapologetic comic book feel than the other Warner Brothers movies have had, the other DC extended universe movies have had. It definitely, you know, there was a lot more humor in it. Edda Candy had some laughs. She was
Lucy Davis. We haven't even mentioned her yet. I liked her a lot as Edda Candy.
Yeah, me too. I thought she was great. She got the audience we were with laughed at just about every bit she was in. I thought it was great that she, you know, they had that moment where, you know, Diana gives her shield and sword, and I loved that she was really hesitant to do that. And they're walking away, and she kind of notices, like, people watching them, and then Steve notices it, and then she shows up at the end and kind of helps them in that scene. I thought that was neat. Yeah. You know, I thought that she's capable. You know, I thought they did a really good job with that character, because that character's been all over the map in the history of Wonder Woman comics, you know, from the Holiday Girls, where she's a little, I mean, she's like a cartoon character in the comic, you know, to, the George Perez run. So I thought they did her justice for sure. Yeah.
Can I say there was a little gag that I think that I wish they had done that they had missed, is that when she hands the sword and the shield to Edda, I thought it would have been funny if, like, when Edda grabs the sword, like, she practically drops it because it's so heavy. Like, she can barely lift it, but for Wonder Woman, it's like picking up a box of Kleenex. Like, that would have been a funny gag if, like, you hand it to Edda and it's a clunk, and she's actually, like, drag it along like it's a, you know, 100-pound weight. I thought that was would have been a good bit, but whatever.
Right. Yes.
So, or do we want to talk about the bracelets? Because there's something I want to mention about
the bracelets. We got to get to the bracelets. We haven't talked about the bracelets yet.
Okay. So, she has just had on the island, on Themyscira, she has just basically defeated her aunt using her bracelets. And then you come into the big battle. Well, you have Steve trying to shove her behind the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullet is coming by her head. One of her Amazon sisters is coming behind her, swinging down on the rope. She could have used her bracelet to stop that bullet. But because she's following Steve, it's the first time she's seen a man, she doesn't follow her warrior instinct. And as a result, her Amazon sister is killed. And so then later, she's like, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I figured out I know what I'm doing. You don't. Here you go. So this is how we're going to do it.
She shoves him out of the way and uses the bracelets. Yeah.
So, you know, because that moment of hesitation before cost her Amazon sister.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I hadn't really read it that way, but yeah, you can. Yeah. I thought the bracelets, I mean, when she was coming through and just, you know, swatting bullets and of course she used the shield too, but I mean that, the scene with in the No Man's Land, that's going to be one of those you just pop the Blu-ray in
and just watch
that scene over and over again. it's going to be one of those.
I mean, it was one of those I had chills down my spine because, you know, like I said, that's the part where, you know, she's like, I'm not listening to them. I'm doing my thing. I know what I'm doing. She goes, and then he believes in her and follows her. He trusts her to do what she needs to do.
Well, yeah, and it's funny because that's Wonder Woman's, you know, helicopter save moment. That's from Superman.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it takes us a while. I mean, we do get, Gal Gadot gets a lot of screen time in this movie. She really does. And I'm glad for that. But, I mean, you know, I'd like to have seen even more, like you said. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe we didn't need to spend as much time with these other guys. But she does get a lot of screen time. And, you know, we don't get her in her proper Wonder Woman attire until about, I don't know how long it was, because I wasn't watching my watch through this movie. I was just into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's probably like halfway through the movie that she finally, you know, takes off that cape thing she's wearing and comes out onto the no man's land field, and there she is in full Wonder Woman regalia. And, you know, that's probably about the same amount of time it took Christopher Reeve to, right, you know, show up in Metropolis as Superman, other than the brief flyby. So, I mean, you know, there's definitely some, you know, structure things going on that are similar. But hell, man, if you're going to, anybody that wants to follow Superman the movie as a template for a comic book movie, you go right ahead.
Yeah, sure, yeah. We'll hand that out. We'll hand out free Blu-rays of that movie. You guys just want to copy that. That's fine with me. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the bracelets. And I this is something I wanted to mention before we sort of wrap up, is the costume. I am not a fan of the DCU versions of the Superman costume and the Batman costume. I just think they're ugly. They don't look right. But they managed to find a nice middle ground between the Wonder Woman costume we all know and love from the comics and a practical version that an adult living, breathing human could wear. I thought the costume designers did a great job coming up with a suitable look for one, and it does have colors. You know, it has actual reds, blues, and yellows in there, which is great. So that's another thing, is that Gal Gadot looks the part, but she's given a great uniform. Like, overall, you're like, this is Wonder Woman to me. It doesn't look like some sort of bastardized, weird version of it that I think some of the other movies suffer from.
Right. And I think I agree. And, I got to kind of wonder, the way they did her skirt. The first time I ever saw Wonder Woman's skirt kind of like that was in The New Frontier, was Darwin Cook.
Yeah,
right. So, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to follow somebody, hey, Darwin Cook, you know.
Why not?
But, you know, just, and I would probably, again, it's another thing I should have said in the pre-spoiler part, but it, as we wrap up, it's not bad to get into. But I really think that, you know, Wonder Woman, again, as I was saying earlier, she has been so many different things over the years, and she has had her, you know, her mess. She's had her message of peace, but she's also, you know, in the 40s, she had this message of love and peace. There's all the weird bondage stuff that went on in the comics, and then in the modern times, she's got a sword and a shield everywhere. And so, you know, not easy to portray all the aspects of that character, but Gal Gadot played both innocent, naive, vulnerable, strong, sexy, cute, all at the same. I mean, she could just go from one to the other, and it didn't feel unnatural. I mean, she just flowed from one aspect of the character to the next. And that, I mean, that's no easy feat.
Nope.
I mean, you know, and she pulled it off, and she pulled it off in that costume. Mm-hmm. And like you said, she never felt like she felt... I feel silly in this. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to beat up on people, but, like, you know, through four seasons of Lois and Clark, Dean Cain never looked like he felt comfortable in his Superman suit, you know. And, I mean, she's been in BVS, and, you know, there she was standing around two other guys that looked equally ridiculous, you know. So, you know, she didn't have to worry about it. But here, you know, she's in a very, a period piece dressed in this costume, and, you know, she never blinks. And, completely sells it.
Yeah. Wonder how many Wonder Woman little girls we're going to see for Halloween this year.
Oh, I know. I told Danny, I said, now, Danny, we can get you a Wonder Woman costume. She said, Mommy, why don't you just buy yourself a new one?
Do you guys have these in mother and daughter sizes? Like, you know.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm
sorry. What about when she goes in where all the generals are talking, and she goes in there. Number one, they have a hissy because she is a woman. Mm-hmm. Number two, she's like, how dare you, you know, make these decisions of men's lives when you're not brave enough? A general is supposed to be on the ground with their troops fighting alongside them.
Right.
And I was just like, by God, she had the, you know,
cojones.
Thank you to say that when nobody else would.
Yeah.
You know,
right, that's a great scene. Yeah. And I mean, you know, she's unapologetic in her, you know, this is the way, you know, and she, and of course, part of that's because she's new to man's world, but it's all, you know, it's just, she's just calling
it's BS. The way it should be.
She's calling BS on all this stuff. I thought that was a great little scene. That, I like that the movie took its time. It breathed a little enough to give us those scenes, you know, and that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff, you know, that's the quiet moments in a movie that we want to see. We don't want to see our characters moping around with their head down. We want to see things like that that build up the character and make us invest in the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, watching Wonder Woman storm into there and all those guys are like, harumph, harumph, there's a woman in here. It made me, it makes me want to see Wonder Woman of today, like, walk into the Senate where they're, all the men are discussing women's health care. It makes
Oh, my God, Wonder don't get me started.
Come, yeah, just put the sword down and, like, clang. It makes me want to see her do that. Yeah, I can't help but think those things. So, well, I mean, in terms of the movie ends in the current day where Wonder Woman is ready to go. So what do you guys want to see where this goes forward? I mean, I absolutely want to see another Wonder Woman solo movie. I do not want to see her just as part of the Justice League or just part of a team movie or just do cameos in Flash or Aquaman. Like, what would you like to see for Wonder Woman 2, which I hope they're going to make?
Her never to be touched by Zack Snyder ever again in any form or fashion.
You know, as far as, like, I guess it would be, you know, in the, I mean, they could, they need to fill in the blanks. Like, did she stay in man's world completely from then? Did she go back to Themyscira, go back and forth? You know, I mean, they could still do another period piece. They could move it forward or they could set it in modern times. So, they'll probably set it in modern times is what I would guess.
Probably.
You know, I mean, it would be, you know, if you're going to, you were talking about wanting to have a Wonder Woman on fighting a female villain. I mean, who else would you want to bring in but the Cheetah? I mean, that's probably Wonder Woman's most famous foe. You know, it would probably have to be a tonal shift. But, hey, the Captain America movies, there was a big tonal shift from First Avenger to Winter Soldier.
Yep.
And it worked, you know, so. Yeah. That's not to say you couldn't get into, you know, whatever kind of, you know, movie the Cheetah. I mean, if you go with, like, the modern version of Cheetah, you have, like, a almost like a horror element to it because you got the whole were-creature thing going on.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that's what I want to see, but it's something they could do. I don't really care as long as she's Wonder Woman. I'll probably go see the movie. You know,
it's like, you know, it's like, sure.
It's one of those cases, you know, if they keep her on board, and it sounds like they will. You know, and from the sounds of this is going over really well. It did really well on its preview night and everything. Right. So I think we'll probably get a sequel, just her. And, I'm game for pretty much whatever, but that, you know, the Cheetah seems like the natural way to go.
I would like to see as far as Dr. Poison, just as a callback to the comics, if maybe you see something about, you know, after this battle, she took her to Paradise Island and reformed her and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. I like that idea.
Yeah, and I mean, that goes with what she did with Paula.
Yeah, exactly. Because
Paula,
you know, that'd
was
be a nice
Nazi,
callback to
the Nazi
comics.
Superwoman or whatever she was. Yeah, yeah. And then she can, and Dr. Poison can invent the purple ray.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Hey, look at that. Look, we already wrote the first act of this movie. Look at that.
See,
and Wonder Woman can use it to cure the Cheetah at the end.
Boom! Awesome.
All right, we're gonna wrap the show up. We're gonna do a script writing session, the three of us. We're gonna have to do it in North Carolina at Heroes Con. We'll do a script writing session. We'll bang out that Wonder Woman 2 script. We'll get going on that. So, well, anyway, that's pretty much Wonder Woman. I'm as much as I had some reservations about the movie, and I did. I still enjoyed it thoroughly. I love that there is a Wonder Woman movie. That is an important thing. And people who say that it doesn't matter are wrong. You know, the people, we have lots of people in our government who don't believe in people of other types being able to see themselves up on the screen. But those people are just wrong. It's important. Mm-hmm. It's important. And you know, like you know, one of the people currently running our government is Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who is credited in this movie as an executive producer. So a little irony there, you know, those damn Hollywood liberals. But I think it's an important thing for people to see someone that looks like them in movies. And it's been way too long. Wonder Woman's been around 76 years. But
yes, and today is actually Wonder Woman Day.
Oh, that's outstanding. I all props to Warner Brothers for doing this, because there was all this skepticism. Are they really going to do it? Are they even marketing it? And it was clear that they were waiting kind of for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to come and go before doing the real push. But they did the push. They did it. Mm-hmm. They want this movie to be a hit. They would like nothing more than to make probably 10 of these movies, and I hope they do, because I said, I think Gal Gadot really put her boot down and claimed the space to be Wonder Woman. And that was, as you guys mentioned, that's no easy trick. And she did it. She pulled it off. Patty Jenkins pulled it off. Patty Jenkins is going to be one of the few female directors to direct like an over $100 million movie, which is great. So this is all good for everybody. And I'm really thrilled that this movie is as good as it is. And I'm thrilled that it is as much of a hit as it is. So thank you guys for coming on to talk about it. We were just so excited about it. The minute I mentioned, like, who wants to talk about it? You were like, yeah, me and Sydney want to do it. You're like, you were jumping in immediately. So and I'm glad you guys loved it.
Yeah, well, yeah, we are
like
too.
I said, I mean, the final word on to me here is Linda Carter is my Wonder Woman, but Gal Gadot.
Yeah, it's Danny's Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can put Linda Carter in the second movie.
Yeah.
You know, put her. I can see why you don't have her in this one, because you're like, no, we really want to establish Gal, but now you've done it. So you can put her in the second movie. Make her the president in the second movie, the president of the United States. Just do it that way. Yeah.
Right. Heck, she's doing it on Smallville.
Supergirl.
Supergirl.
Yep. There you go. Perfect. So, yeah, it's Wonder Woman. I'm glad she's here. She's in her satin tights or metal tights fighting for our rights. So, it's great. We're really, really happy to have Wonder Woman here as a movie star. So, thank you, Chris and Cindy, for coming on the show. Always fun talking to you guys. Talk about your show on the network.
Well, Supermates is the show that Cindy and I do, and actually the episode, if this drops Wednesday, then Thursday, if you're listening to it when it first drops, the next day you can listen to Supermates episode 71, where we talk about Cindy's Wonder Woman collection.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
And it's just the figural stuff, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. All dolls and figures and
all sorts
of things.
Oh, I love the toy episode you guys do. I can't wait for that one. That'll be terrific. Oh, cool.
Yep, and then me and you do
you and I.
See, Cindy was trained on Paradise Island, so she has proper grammar. Rob, you and I do another movie show that's kind of percolating right now, Superman Movie Minute. That's sneaking out episodes here and there, and then of course I'm on Batman Nightcast with the aforementioned Ryan Daly, where we talk about post-crisis Batman comics.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe after you and I finish Superman Movie Minute, the three of us can do Wonder Woman Movie Minute.
Woohoo!
There you go. We're excited. So, all right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you want to find back episodes of the show, go to the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com, and you can see all our previous episodes of this show and all our other great shows, including Supermates Podcast, over on the network. And you can follow the movie conversations we have over on Twitter, which is at FilmandWaterPod on Twitter. And so, this is the only first time I'm going to get to say this. Guys, I'll get to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yay!
Right?
Exciting.
We'll see.
We're looking forward to it.
We'll see you then.
So thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next week, that's a wrap.
Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman.
All the world's waiting for you and the power you possess. Satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old red, white, and blue.
Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman.
Now the world is ready for you, and the wonders you can do. Make a hawk and dove, stop a war with love. Make the liar tell it true.
Wonder Woman, get us out from under, Wonder Woman.
All our hopes are pinned upon you and the magic that you do. Stop a bullet cold and make the axis fold.
Change their minds. Change the world.